and welcome to Friends in Your Ears, a podcast where podcaster Kathy Campbell interviews podcasters about their favorite podcasts on a podcast. I am joined today by two amazing people. We have Andrew Carroll and Moises Chuyon. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hi.
All right. Andrew, if you would like to introduce yourself and let everyone know where they can find you on the internet, this is the time to expound on everything that you do that is awesome.
Oh, okay. Then I'm done. You said everything that's awesome. I'm not sure everything I do is awesome. I'm CFO Andrew. I have various other sites and things like that. But the main ones you'd find me at are accrualempire.com or CFOAndrew.com. I'm a money guy, so to speak.
And what about your podcast?
Oh, right. And Orthogonal. I do on the Spec Network. I do the podcast Orthogonal with my good buddy Brett. We talk about freelancers and being freelance, solopreneurs, all that kind of whole stuff. And it's a lot of fun. I can't even forget about it. Brett's going to be so mad at me. I forgot about him.
I know. It's okay. I'll trim it up if you want. Or we'll leave it in, including this part where you're scared of Brett. Yeah. Yeah. That's always fun. What about you, Moises?
Probably the easiest place to find me on the internet is on Twitter, Instagram. Don't waste your time with Facebook. Moises Chiu, MoisesChiu, the shortened version of my last name. Technically I have podcasts. They've been on hiatus for like 2 years. Depending on when this drops, that may no longer be the case, and I'm lying to you, and I'm self-promoting a few things that have taken a long time to get out into the world. If anything, I pop up on the main Incomparable show more often than just about anything at this point. But the three shows that again, temporarily, I don't know if I'm lying as the words come out of my mouth, that I started independently podcasting with are Electric Shadow, Giant Size, and Thank You for Calling. Movie and TV show, a comic show, and show ostensibly about the vaguely defined world of customer service. So yeah, they exist. The feeds are still there. There's other stuff that, I've gotten very, very, very averse to the whole notion of pre-announcing things, because that's a great guarantee of making sure it doesn't actually happen, or that you blow your own self-imposed deadlines. There's some stuff coming, and those feeds aren't dead.
Awesome. So make sure you subscribe and
And subscribe and
yes.
Leave only nice comments and
ring the bell and all of that stuff that happens, you know, as a professional would say.
Moises, if I remember correctly, I swear that you were on a podcast called The Critical Path. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was co-host number two on The Critical Path on 5x5, taking over from Dan Benjamin. At a certain point, and I was mostly furniture on that show, and just kind of got out of the way of Horace Dedieu being Horace Dedieu and talking about charts and vis-a-vis this and vis-a-vis that, and that was show up and do the ad reads kind of a thing, for the most part. But it's been, I think it's been years and years now since I was on that. I don't even know who's co-hosting it or if it's still going, because I moved on to my own stuff after that.
Okay. That's what I thought. I was looking online. I was like, I swear that I saw him on this, and that's right.
One of the executive producers of The Martian and Designated Survivor and stuff followed me on Twitter one day, and I was like, I don't know why you're following me all of a sudden. He's like, oh, I listened to The Critical Path. And I'm like, oh, okay, that does it. All right. That makes sense. Yeah.
Well, this is perfect to go into the conversation of how did you start listening to podcasts?
Oh, God. For me, it was the early days of iTunes podcasts. I was an early iPod adopter. I got the original 5-gig iPod as an undergrad at Florida State, because nice. There was a price break on it with my fancy new swivel-headed iMac. And I just thought it was the coolest thing, and I'd pull it out of my pocket around campus, and people were like, what the hell is that? Why don't you just have a CD player, like a normal person? Little did they know that those things were going to take over our entire lives. And when podcasts hit, I was listening to the two that stick out in my mind, just, you know, right off the top of my head. There's a quartet of women called the Lascivious Biddies, a band, you know, classical music types who would, you know, do their own interesting acoustic covers there was a Smith song that they covered, and then they would write original songs, like they wrote one called Neighbor about Fred Rogers that's really good. But they did a podcast that was ostensibly just them recording raw audio and dumping it into a podcast feed while they were on tour. I just liked the band. But the one that I listened to that kind of got me primed for it, of all things, was the show now known as Queer Eye, that was Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, would do this Queer Eye Hip Tips thing that was like 5 minutes long. And they would just carpet bomb the feed with episodes every once in a while, and so it'd be all kinds of things like, you know, taking care of your shoes and proper grooming techniques and all kinds of things that were just, you know, really solid good stuff. And then I went from those to paying attention to the larger world of podcasts, and I loved the time delayed radio aspect of it. So there were shows that wouldn't necessarily always be covered or carried by my local public radio station, but were public radio shows. KCRW is The Business. KCRW is The Treatment, hosted by Elvis Mitchell, that I would have to listen to internet radio style, that I was then able to just subscribe to like you would DVR a TV show. And I just got super, super into it because I love radio. And I just wanted radio to be more convenient. I didn't want to have to tune in at a very specific time to listen to something. I just had two or three or four things. And then those carried over into the American Theater Wing, did a show called Downstage Center, where it was the head of the American Theater Wing interviewing Broadway people. And it would be, here's an hour and a half of just talking with Patti LuPone. Or, you know, here's a long form talk with Mandy Patinkin, or, you know, wow, Raul Esparza. And it's one of the best podcasts out there that I don't even know if the feed's dead, but I made sure to archive the entire backlog of everything because it was so good. After that, it's difficult to pinpoint things, but those are the ones that came to mind initially, where I thought the idea of podcasts were interesting. The first two I listened to, I wasn't terribly passionate about, but they were at least proof of concept such that when I realized that stuff that I really actively wanted to seek out that otherwise wasn't available to me was something that I could now get, you know, with a couple of clicks.
Yeah. It kind of opens up your schedule a little bit. So you're not like, okay, I have to go sit in the car to listen to the radio at this point,
yeah,
and hopefully not have anything else planned. And yeah, I love that. Andrew, what about you?
I was apparently much later to the game than that. And I actually came into it almost completely backwards, because I came through, I started listening to podcasts indirectly because of Chris DeCaro. Chris introduced me to Brett when Brett started doing his internet business stuff. And I was helping him with books and finances and taxes and accounting and all that kind of stuff. And he's like, oh yeah, and I do this podcast with this guy named Mike Hurley. And this was back when he had the podcast Cooking with Brett and Mike, which is still one of my all-time favorite podcasts because it's so good.
I didn't even know that show existed.
Yeah, it was. This was when Mike was on 70 decibels before he went to 5x5.
Yeah.
So he did Cooking with Brett and Mike, and it was just another one of those, like, Brett and Mike were buddies, and this was back when, you know, in the 70 decibels days, Mike was doing this as a, you know, as a hobby, really. It wasn't his full-time business like it is now. and then I was like, oh, that's pretty great. And then I listened to it, and you can't listen to a podcast with Mike Hurley on it and not like automatically love Mike Hurley.
Yeah.
And then I actually almost back-ended a lot of this podcast I used to listen to. I listened to that one. I listened to, oh God, it's Matt Alexander and Mike Hurley as well. It's gone through like three different iterations because I followed those guys from.
Yeah, the original iteration was Bionic.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That was on 5x5,
where they were ostensibly
though, right?
trying to do an Android show, technology show, and yes. then it descended into madness and right. became the show Bionic that everybody actually likes. And I think that's the one that I recorded a theme song, like I recorded a cover of a Bond song, like a James Bond yes. theme song. I think it was for Bionic specifically before Bonanza.
Bonanza,
and then
I
either promised to do one for Bonanza and didn't do it, or I did one for Bonanza and promised to do a second one and forgot to do it. but I can't remember if I nobody does it better is one that I did. And then I thought I did an Adele song because I bought the instrumental only version of it from iTunes as a backing track. Mm-hmm. I've dedicated a truly demented level of time to loving what Matt and Mike do.
So I'm also now realizing, if you remember, that they had a running bit about sunsetting people in the volcano.
100%. I remember this. Of course I remember this.
The background.
I still have level 17 volcano access. So
right.
like I can still get into
deep cut.
I can still get into all the labs. I was there when they shifted to a Thunderbirds model
yep.
of leadership of which one of them was going to be in Thunderbird 1, Thunderbird 2, and so on. Everything goes very deep.
So the background of my computer desktop is and has been since that time period. Someone did a fan art with like the sun setting logo. It's got like a gray band on the top, and it's got the red and orange fading. Bands on it, and the Volcano wallpaper is still the wallpaper on my phone. I realized
I still have the Volcano app on my phone.
I never changed it. And so I got into that.
I have the Volcano app. I have the Car Planer Boat app.
I forgot about Car Planer Boat. That was the best part of this.
Oh man,
it's so good, so good.
I pitched Matt. I said, hey, there is absolutely no way that Mike, or at least Mike would get Steven to sign off on it. But I said, I just want to create officially licensed Bonanza merchandise that would probably be very limited print run. You know, they had an episode called Hot Member Content, and they made that a whole running thing. And yes. and Matt, having come from, you know, the world of men's fashion startups, I said, I want to do one of those super douchey, like Ed Hardy style shirts with metallic print in gothic lettering, like over one of the shoulders, not even centered or anything, where it looks like a regrettable tattoo that you got, but it's on your shirt.
Right.
That's just incredibly gaudy gothic lettering that just is the words Hot Member Content in gold metallic ink on a black shirt. And just see how many people buy that.
So many people will buy that.
And Matt was totally into it. And it was, you know, it's one of those things that you have to pay attention to feeding yourself, and you know, stuff like that comes second. But there's a side business that I have. You know, I should probably talk to the CFO man afterward about the lucrative nature of it. But it's something that I love about podcasts is that there are so many of those deep cuts that it's described as this industry full of niches by some people, and I feel like, you know, you do a print run of like 100 enamel pins of something that literally 100 people are going to understand or care about. And that's probably still actually profitable somehow. Which, I mean, to the point of, I don't think this is betraying any confidences or something, but at some point Matt told me that shortly after they launched the membership, set up at Relay, that, the degree to which Bonanza, a show that had not published an episode in months, was getting membership donors was absolutely shocking to him.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I mean, they donated to name the
air, 100%
not even
that.
The hurricane.
I 100% did that. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, people are very passionate about people. And that's something about podcasting is it's so personal and it's so intimate. And so when you find and connect to hosts that you're just like, yes, these are my people, you're going to throw money at them if you have it. And it's...
Yeah. That's how I got... I mean, that's... Well, yeah. And I ended up back ending most of the stuff. I got into it through the accounting piece, right? So I followed Mike when they went over to 5x5. And then when they left 5x5, I started... I'd met.
Hey, look! A lot of us leave 5x5. It's a thing we all do.
It's a common thing. Started.
I was the first one after Gruber, I think. I think just after Marco and Syracusa ended their shows, or just before. Yeah. I forget the timeline because I don't care that much about the precise, you know, encyclopedic story of it, but. Yeah. There's this whole thing of having been on 5x5 and then no longer having been on 5x5.
Yeah. And so I started working with the Relay guys, and that's how I also met. And when I went to go do our podcast, I was working with the Spec Network folks. Again, just doing accounting and because you realize that in this certain space, particularly I work primarily in the tech and design and development space. And they all know each other. And then when you go one level down to not just tech and design, but tech and design in podcast, there's like 11 people. And somehow they basically all became my clients. And that's where all the shows I listen to now for the most part are those people that I know now. That, and I also, so I don't remember how I got introduced to Merlin Mann. Oh, on 5x5. When Mike went to 5x5, I also found Back to Work, which is where I found Merlin Mann, who's my other superhero person that I just follow. Like, if he's on the podcast, I'm probably listening to it. I don't listen to as much of them. I don't listen to all of them anymore.
Well, you're missing out. You're a disgrace.
Yep. And, I'm sorry. We're gonna have to ask you to leave. Yeah. I will find a replacement.
Yeah, you've sullied the name of Bulk Bag Nation.
Yes.
I actually, Merlin is how I came to know that 5x5 existed, because I had the 43 folders days. I don't even remember how. It might have been some blog linking to him, and then I realized, oh, these life hacker people, they did not invent this thing and that thing. This guy invented this thing and that thing.
Right.
And
right.
I found his concepts for how to apply getting things done. And, you know, having a process for things, I just found it really intuitive and human and much less robot style mm-hmm. as I found other things. And I started listening to Back to Work, and that led to me listening to the talk show. And I was like, who is this John Gruber guy? I'm an Apple guy, but I'm not that much of an Apple guy. I found myself kind of falling into this rabbit hole of listening to various shows, even though what I consider a seasoned technologist, as one would say, I was not listening to This Week in Tech. I was not paying attention to this broad subculture within technology podcasting, where it would take a bit for me to use context clues to understand the references that Dan and Merlin would make at certain points, or that Gruber would make at some points. Part of what I liked about Gruber was that he just kind of didn't give a crap about any of that stuff and was just doing his own thing and showing up and, you know, figuring out how to make it entertaining. And it was listening to Back to Work live one week when Dan said that he was going to move to Austin. And I was like, I live in Austin. Hey, I like this show, and I've got an interest in creating stuff, but editing audio and balancing dynamic range and all this other stuff that I still don't know the correct terms for it. And I edit my shows in GarageBand. I don't need Logic. I use very simple tools. I use the simplest tools that are probably the most reliably not going to break over the next 10 years. I was like, hey, maybe this guy can teach me a thing or two. And I can do him a favor by, you know, doing some advanced scouting for him here in town, or, you know, at least give him good places to eat and that sort of thing. Right. And that sort of, I mean, it was kind of a, It was a phone call, and he said that I had a good quality to my voice, and I was like, thank you, my voice and performance professors, thank you, you know, 20 years of Shakespeare, thanks you, and he said, yeah, you know, maybe you could do a show of some kind, and he didn't realize that I had at the time I had access to talent from film festivals, from conventions, not nearly to the point with conventions that I do now. And so I kind of handed him an entertainment and culture guy that came out of nowhere. I did not know that The Incomparable existed. I did not know what The Incomparable was. I just knew that he was really heavily talking up this guy, Jason Snow. And I was like, yeah, I'm sure he's great. and I was like, wait a minute, that name sounds familiar. Wait a minute, the guy from Macworld magazine, the magazine that I would occasionally read at the bookstore and not pay for because I was broke. Oh, okay, I know who that is. And I said, oh, so it's like a technology show? And he's like, no, he can't really do that because of, you know, Macworld and blah, 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 blah. And so it was almost like dogs sniffing at each other across a field where Jason was doing like nerd book club, but not necessarily for books every time. Like that's how I explain The Incomparable to people. The show is it's nerd book club, but for all nerd stuff, not just books. Right. Nerd stuff club, but that sounds like a subscription box service. And so I said, well, I kind of want to do a movie and TV show like this, and I want to do a comic book show like this. And Dan had his own notes on how he wanted a couple of those things to go. And he said that he was doing so many shows that there were one or two that it might make sense for him to transition over to me hosting, one of those being The Critical Path, mm-hmm. Where I was completely out of my depth, which the comments on Horace's blog would tell you every single week when an episode was posted. No matter how little I talked on that show, there was always someone who was like, tell Talking Man to stop talking and let Horace talk. And generally, that's what I did. And these are, you know, people who really fetishize charts and graphs, and it's good to have a passion.
Well, for what it's worth, I think you were quite lovely on that show. I enjoyed and thought you.
Thank
were
you.
A perfect
You're a very
little,
handsome man yourself.
Very. I thought it was right. Well, because I get the whole outsider thing, right? Because I'm an accountant. I've never used an Apple computer except when I'm at a client's office and it's the only computer they have, and
look,
I have to figure out how
to work.
It makes
pivot tables really difficult. Right. I mean, that's just the beginning of it.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, a lot of these people that I met and worked with, I was like, oh, I mean, I understand podcasting, but like, I don't listen to most of your shows because I've never owned an iPod. I've never had an iPhone. I've never owned an Apple computer. Most of this stuff has no relevance to me. I listen to Back to Work a lot because I like the productivity stuff that obviously is, you know, applies across platforms, and that's actually how I ended up getting looped in with Mike and Alexander in the first or Matt Alexander in the first place, because like Bionic, I was like, oh great, I totally have an Android phone, let's listen to this. I'd obviously progressed very quickly away from that, but and I like where it went even better, but I end up listening to Reconcilable Differences now and Roderick on the Line even more because I ended up following Merlin out of Back to Work and more into this the like life stuff, because he had my daughter just turned 3 last week, and his like view on little less productivity, and I mean this productivity still infuses, I mean he would probably get really mad if I said say it like this, but you know what I mean, like it still infuses a little bit of what he does, but it's more about the life and the living and all the stuff like that. And I found that to be really, really relatable.
He's talked about that, how, you know, oh, all these people who are tuning in for productivity tips. All right, good luck. Have fun. We're going to talk about light bulbs this week.
Right. Or toaster ovens. Yeah. Or, yeah.
I forgot if was there a question we were answering? I'm not sure if we...
I forget
this point, but whatever.
Which is totally fine. This is what makes this great or good or acceptable internet. Radio, maybe? Totally. I don't know. Totally. But this, it worked out, you know. We learned how Moises started podcasting, and we heard a little bit about how Andrew at least met Brett, and he's the one that made you start a podcast, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's his
fault. I think
fault,
so. I don't remember how, I was trying to think about the day. I cannot remember how we actually, I'm confusing the timeline of when I started working with Spec and when we decided to have, I think that I was working with Spec already. And then Brett said, we should do this podcast. And I said, okay, I think I know somebody that will let us put it on their network. I think is how that worked.
That, yeah.
I love Brett Kelly. And I don't remember precisely how I met him, but it was a consequence of knowing Brett Terpstra, who was also on 5x5 when I came onto 5x5. And he was like, hey, come be on Systematic sometime. And I was like, okay. Person I just met who Merlin and Dan talk about all the time. You sound like a genius. Oh, you are a genius. Okay. All right, cool. And then at WWDC, however many years ago, I just kind of, Brett Kelly and I became mutual followers of each other on Twitter because that's what people do in this era of living remotely from all the people they're friends with. Mm-hmm. And then 1 year at WWDC, I want to say it was either right on the cusp of Relay being a thing, or actually it was just before. Yeah. It was after I had made the jump, and before Brett Terpstra had, and yeah, we just ended up hanging around and drinking with our friend, then brother Gabe, now father Gabe, mm-hmm. the Dominican friar.
Yep.
Who now I'm using the wrong Catholic terms for all this stuff, but it's, you know,
his congregation up
in Portland. He's surrounded by all those hippies. Poor, poor, super conservative father Gabe.
You realize that I'm in Portland, right?
Oh, I know. He's surrounded by all of my lovely hippies.
There we go.
Wait, Moises, don't you live in Austin?
Yeah, I do. I
was going to say, is this a pot?
It's where we make hippies. We export them to Portland. Portland takes our clippings and grows their own, and they've got their own really great strain going. Here in Austin during a boil water notice, watch out for murky water.
Oh man, well this. It's all great and whatnot, and I'm so glad that you're on to talk, but let's talk about why people listen to this show, which is to learn people's favorite podcasts and why they enjoy them so much.
Oh, good. Okay, this will take a while. Andrew mentioned following Merlin to various different shows. I literally have an Overcast playlist that's called Merlin-esque that is just all of Merlin shows. And I listen to them in sequence because if I don't listen to Roderick on the Line before Back to Work, before Reconcilable Differences, before Dubai Friday, my week feels weird.
Yeah. Yes. So are you just going to say everything Merlin produces is your favorite?
Oh,
is that
I had to pick up my phone because I have I have a lot of stuff. I should, in the interest of full disclosure, admit that I am one of these 3X plus and smart speed people from most shows.
Oh my.
Because I love Terry Gross. I will never say a bad thing about Terry Gross. But most times I really absolutely have to consume Terry Gross at about three times the speed she normally talks, or I would never get anywhere.
We got things to do.
Yeah. I've got I have a politics playlist that includes 1947, the Meet the Press podcast, the Axe Files, David Axelrod, the CBS Evening News, the NBC Evening News, the Daily, Face the Nation Diary, which isn't a thing anymore since John Dickerson moved over to CBS This Morning, Face the Nation on the Radio, which has been unexpectedly delightful because John Dickerson's hosting that in his colleague's stead as she is on maternity leave, 538 Politics, of course, because I love numbers and I love science and I love statistics, Hysteria from Crooked Media, In the Thick, a new podcast from Latino USA, It's Been a Minute with Sam Sanders, formerly the NPR Politics podcast, Larry Wilmore, Black on the Air, Latino USA, Love It or Leave It, NBC Meet the Press, NPR Politics, On the Media, Pod Save America, Pod Save the People, Pod Save the World, Pod Save Everything, I guess. The Slate Political Gab Fest, which is how I get my John Dickerson every week. Politico's Off Message, which just had a host change, and I always give stuff a chance through a host change because, hey, I've been that host change.
Right.
There was a fun podcast that Elliot Kalin was doing called Presidents Are People Too, that had a bunch of goofy, weird president facts in it. The Texas Tribune Tribcast, this week with George Stephanopoulos, with Friends Like These, hosted by Honor Marie Cox. That's another one of my favorites. I have found myself, I keep up with a bunch of favorite podcasts, but I find that I live in my politics feed more than anything. I listen to all of Roderick's shows, all of Merlin's shows. I listen to The Talk Show. Pretty much the only explicitly tech show that I listen to is Snell's Download. That's, you know, I occasionally listen to Clockwise, but I just, I get to a certain point with tech shows where I just need to be able to kind of keep up with stuff, and Download does that for me. And where I used to listen to something like Connected, I don't need the longer form kind of stuff. You know, I listen to ATP, so it's kind of one or the other of those two. Nothing against, you know, Mike and Steven and Federico. But I don't care about the subject matter as much as I used to. ATP is more of my Top Gear without the racism and dumb crap, kind of thing. I'm realizing just how many shows I have in here. 99% Invisible. I still listen to The Business and The Treatment from back in the earliest days. Those I'll catch up on in chunks. The Slate Culture Gabfest. My friend and our fellow North Texan, Dana Stevens, Slate's film critic, is on that. Sometimes I listen to Hardcore History. when Temujin was marching across the Mongolian steppe. But sometimes it's difficult because he sounds so close to Alex Jones that it triggers something in me that ooh, makes me go, yeah. No, I don't think so. Not today. Not today, Satan. Death, Sex, and Money from WNYC is really good. Let's see. Friendshipping from Jen and Trin. Trin, who used to be with Cards Against Humanity. Jen, who is still with Cards Against Humanity. The two of them still best friends, still wonderful friends. Great podcast about friendship. The Good Place podcast is so good. I want to have a Mark Evan Jackson feed of him hosting multiple shows because he's so, so good. Occasionally, Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin is not insufferable.
Such a resounding, like, promotional bit. It's okay sometimes.
Hello, I'm Alec Baldwin, and I love the sound of my own voice. So I cut in on my interview subjects whenever I possibly can.
Ooh, ouch.
But he's still Alec Baldwin, and he's still pretty good. Imaginary Worlds by Eric Molinsky is really good. Lore, of course I listen to Lore. I've been listening to Lore since before it was cool. since I was offering to executive produce that show for Aaron at no profit participation and no ownership. And he didn't need me. And I literally said, you don't need me, but if you want, you know, a buddy, you know, I'm around. The JV Club with Janet Varney, voice actress, on-screen actress, par excellence. Mac Power Users, I catch up to in binges. Love Mac Power Users. They teach me things I did not know was possible. The Moment with Brian Koppelman, TV and movie writer. The Mortified Podcast and The Moth are, if I had to just choose two podcasts produced by people I do not know and have never interacted with, and I could only keep those two, it would probably be Mortified and The Moth, because I love storytelling podcasts. Planet Money, When I Want to Be Sad.
Even at 3x, I have no idea how you listen to this much stuff. I'm so utterly impressed right now.
I do a lot of traveling and driving.
Oh, okay.
And then often we'll forget to download the actual files to my phone before I get on a plane. Mm. And then I'm going, okay, what have I listened to part of? Random Trek, I love because I love Star Trek. I've been on Random Trek a number of times. So it's not to listen to my own voice. It's to listen to various people who did make it all the way through Star Trek Voyager, which was sporadically aired and which I still am meaning to catch up on. Nintendo voice chat, IGN's Nintendo podcast. I am not a huge gamer. I used to play everything. I used to work in a video game store in high school. And I got a Nintendo Switch when it came out, and that's all the video game console I need. And I love that podcast, even though they recently went through a bit of drama with their lead Nintendo editor plagiarizing basically his entire professional career, almost sinking his publication. The people who stuck around are really great, and I would urge people to support the good people at IGN who had no idea that they were working with a total bag of crap. Serial, This American Life, Script Notes. There are various Gimlet shows that I used to listen to that now I've keep forgetting that I'm subscribed to, which I, you know, God bless them, and I hope their venture capital is doing them well. Stuff you missed
well,
in history class.
It's not as if you don't have anything else to listen to.
Yeah,
so it's understandable.
I as I'm going through this, it's like you own how many cats? 20,000 Hertz, 2 Minute Time Lord, which is now the this weekend. It's this weekend something or another. Texas Monthly just launched a podcast called Underdog Beto versus Cruz. I started listening to a CBC, Canadian Broadcast Company, show called Uncover about escaping Nexium, not the the medication, but the sex cult that
right.
one of the stars of Smallville was caught up in. And I don't know. I've got some journalistic issues with it, but it's fascinating regardless. The incomparable Star Trek Discovery podcast, Vulcan Hello. Wait, Don't Tell Me. I love that Wait, Don't Tell Me exists as a podcast. Welcome to Night Vale, along with the rest of the internet. What Trump Can Teach Us About Con Law, the various Night Vale Presents, WTF occasionally. Oh, and You Must Remember This, which is pound for pound one of the best podcasts made by a person I know, that has kind of exploded into something of a sensation, and which in which I played the voice of former President Nixon at one point. Best villain role I've ever gotten to play. All right, so I guess we're done now. I guess
yes.
soaked up the entire runtime with
all of the podcasts.
Yeah, and that's just stuff that I had unlistened episodes of. There's probably a lot more than that. Yesterqueer by my friend Kalen is really great. And now that I'm looking at my played podcasts set, I'm seeing a bunch that existed and then just evaporated into the ether. Mm. And the pilot for a Joe Biden podcast that Richard Stevens was going to do for me called Biden Time.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
Missed opportunity right there.
Yeah, well, yeah. Who knows? Who knows? 2020.
Right.
So as I started working from home more and I'm traveling less, I don't go places. So I found the amount of, like, even just having like the 30, even when I worked like 4 miles from my office or lived 4 miles from my office, you still get through 30 minutes, 40 minutes a day, which was a nice, you get through some stuff. And now that I basically go no place, like I like get out of bed and put slippers on and like walked, it's not even a hall. I walk through the entryway to my office. I've really had a problem with staying up on podcasts on all of them. I would say that Roderick on the Line is the only one that I'm like religiously, I'm always basically always current on Roderick on the Line. That's like the biggest one. I have my small bag packed. I'm ready for the train.
The super train.
Absolutely. And, I have the super train shirt and the whole thing. And the other one, actually, I was a little surprised that the other one that I listen to a bunch that I'm fairly current on is Mike Rowe's podcast called The Way I Heard It,
yes.
Which is one of the only ones that I've listened to, one of the only ones I've ever listened to religiously. It's not one of my friends. It's not someone I know or have a connection
what
with.
What is this?
And it's really good. I really, really like it a lot.
It's called The Way I Heard It, mm-hmm. and it's along the same lines as And Now You Know the Rest of the Story.
Oh boy, 114 episodes. I'll have this done in a week.
Right. Well, and they're very short. They're most like of, 5-10 yeah, minutes. Short,
yeah. 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 They're, most of them are pretty short. Yeah. Really good storytelling. He's just telling a good story. Once you've listened to a few of them, you start to figure out like his mechanism a little bit. So it's one of those turns out episodes, like turns out kind of shows. It's really interesting. It's fun to like learn fun facts and things like that. Yeah, oh, Ungenius. I listen to the Art of Manliness podcast. Occasionally Brett McKay. I like some of those. That one's pretty good. It can be hit or miss depending on the guest. But it's gotten a lot better, especially, and the quality has gotten a lot better too from like, the bigger deal that he's become, the better guests he's gotten. And that tends to improve the experience of the podcast quite a bit.
Yeah.
So it's like the rest of this is all like Reconcilable Differences, Bonanza, Roderick on the Line, Omnibus, Due by Friday. You see the trend here in the things that I'm listening to for the most part. I like the NPR. I love a lot of those like NPR podcasts. Like, I love This American Life. I guess need to retire so I can like have a podcast listening to an hour a day, I guess, would be the way to do
it. I found that what I do is I don't necessarily catch up with them. I'll catch up with them in enormous binges. So I'm listening to Fresh Air episodes from January of this year at the moment. Or I'll have a year and a half of This American Life that I listen to toward the end of the year as I'm doing like end of the year cleaning and sorting and decluttering and that kind of thing. I do a lot of cooking and you know, I'm a relatively recently single divorced guy who's moved twice in the last year, three times in the last year, actually, come to think of it. Moving is a great, great, sad opportunity to listen to a bunch of sad podcasts about the depressing state of the world. But that's what comedy podcasts are for.
Right. I did start catching bang, bang. Up. Because when I moved to, I just moved like 6 months ago to Texas. So we have this thing called like lawns and you have to like mow them.
And yeah, so I was getting caught up. Yeah, the size of football fields, they're terrible.
Yeah, I was getting caught up because I was mowing the lawn, like, which is like an hour and a half every Sunday. And that was totally getting me caught up. And then it started, the apocalypse rainstorm came in and then it got cold and all the lawn went dormant. So I don't mow the lawn anymore, so now I'm behind on podcasts.
The most time that I listen to podcasts is actually when I'm walking the dog. So obviously that's what you need to do next dog, Andrew.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did my wife put you up to this? I know. And I told him it was a dumb idea and he agreed with me after it happened. No, here's the problem. Mm-hmm. Brett didn't buy a dog. He bought a puppy, which is an even stupider version of buying a dog.
It's true, but come on, how cute are they?
Come on, nothing. Baby, I already got babies around here. I got enough creatures. No, I'm picking up poop from. True. I don't need more of them.
Oh, all right. Well, that was amazing. As always, all links to podcasts will be in the show notes. So don't feel like you have to, if you're listening to this three times.
I'm sorry.
Don't feel like you have
no. I didn't realize how much work I was putting you to. Hold on. There are a few other TV Talk Machine. I listen to You Look Nice Today at least once a year. There's Top Scallops for fans of Dubai Friday. I was kidding, but you just let me keep going. So I kept going.
I know.
The Nintendo Power podcast is great.
I'll just have you send me the links and you can.
Oh, God. No, I'll listen back to this and be transcribing my own insanity.
Right? Don't worry. Just screenshot your playlist and I'll do it. It's fine.
It's a lot of screenshots.
I was going to say. He's
maybe
got
a video, like screen record as you're scrolling slowly down. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
I'll have my secretary work on it. Gladys!
There we go.
Gladys!
I need you, Gladys! All right. But we are down to the very important final bonus question, that neither of my guests know what that question is. And I myself just decided right now. And the question is this: what is your biggest nerd sin?
Andrew?
I guess I don't know what direction to go with. I'm not, remember, I, well, I was just about to say I'm an accountant, not a nerd, and then I realized how stupid that sounds.
Yeah.
Yes, I deal with the numbers all day. I don't do those nerd things.
I mean, I am a little bit of a nerd. Like, I like, I mean, I play video games, but not like a lot. I love sci-fi, but I don't like track enough. I'm not really good at like details or memory or things like that. So I don't really run. And I don't, I've never played Dungeons and Dragons ever before in my life. I would totally love to. I just never was a thing that came up. I don't, we actually just a month ago, we finished watching all of Star Trek TNG. My wife and I said, it was like, you know what, this, we should really just watch this. And it was glorious. But I don't know what you consider the nerd stuff. So biggest nerd sin is that I'm not that much of a nerd, even though I totally am a nerd. And I love all that stuff. I just have never really gotten into it.
On that thread, my biggest nerd sin until I got the flu twice this year was that I had not watched Battlestar Galactica, and so I got all the way through Battlestar Galactica, and then I was on stage with Katie Sackhoff about 2 weeks ago and made her snort laughing, and I made Starbuck giggle, so life's pretty good. But in that vein,
I will say I got another nerd sin while you finish that thought. I like Katie Sack. Here's my nerd sin. I like her in Longmire way better than I liked her in Battlestar Galactica.
She's so good in Longmire.
Oh my
She's
God.
She's so good in Longmire. Longmire now available on Netflix. This podcast brought to you by Netflix. Netflix, the flicks that are on the net.
Yes. I think that would also be considered a nerd sin, is that I would take Cowboy Katie Sackhoff over space fighter pilot Katie Sackhoff.
I love Edward James Olmos in that show, but there's stuff that I love him for more that isn't science fiction at all, like Stand and Deliver and, you know, non-nerd stuff. In the global sense, that's probably my biggest nerd sin, is there are various things that I'm very, very happy to be into or not into, regardless of how unpopular it is. Like, I really hate the Goonies. I just can't get past the racist stuff. I can't get past the racist stuff. I can't get past the monster human in the movie is a not so veiled kind of, hey, this is a developmentally disabled person and we're just going to make them a monster. And that'll be fine. That's something that always rubbed me the wrong way. Like there are things like that I don't care how much somebody loves it and how much it means to somebody. There's stuff like that I'm very happy to be the Debbie Downer going, unfortunately, it's very racist. It's
problematic. I think is the
very racist. Problematic is for cowards.
there you go. Okay.
that's what I find. I find myself going, you know, look, I can enjoy Big Trouble in Little China mostly because of the fact that, you know, James Hong has talked extensively about it, but oh boy, there's a lot of stuff in that movie that is not so great. Jumping back to the silly and the fun. I don't even know how nerdy it is to like Game of Thrones at this point because it's so mainstream, but I've never watched a single episode of Game of Thrones. Not because I'm not into the general subject matter, but partly because there are various variables I won't get into that are kind of irrelevant, but, I was writing a fantasy thing, when it came out, and I didn't want it to bleed over into what I was doing before I at least got a few drafts of something out. And then all the, you know, oh, there's a bunch of rapey stuff in it. And, that stuff made me go, you know what? I'll watch it later. And so now when I tell people I've never watched an episode of that. I've never watched an episode of The Walking Dead. People look at me like I'm out of my mind, and don't have any taste. And it's just, there's only so much time and there's only so much stuff out there to consume. I sometimes like things that are violently unpopular with subsets of entitled entrenched fandom, Like, there are plenty of people out there who hate Star Trek Discovery because they're like, oh, that's not Gene Roddenberry's Star Trek. And I'm like, well, Gene Roddenberry's Star Trek was covered in drugs and sexual harassment. So I'm very much in favor of Star Trek becoming something else and being something
it's
else.
Allowed to grow beyond its source.
Yeah. If I were to boil it down to my biggest nerd sin is that when I was a young nerd, I would probably be horrified at my saying that I'm not always on the side of the nerds anymore because the nerds aren't always on the right side of history or justice. Because entitlement complexes can drive you to really, really bad places.
And God forbid you judge something for its value as opposed to the fact that it has the name Star Trek and or, you know, is a certain way or not a certain way. And that's why it's good or bad as opposed to just, you know, this is a good show. This is good sci-fi. I mean, if it's good sci-fi, it's good sci-fi.
Dear Rian Johnson, I have 17 issues with how you directed The Last Jedi.
Starting in the first 2 seconds.
To start off with, women. Oh, brother, am I right? Women.
And with that, I think I'm going to thank you for listening to this episode of Friends in Your Ears.
That's a great clip to use against me for years to come. Women, am I right?
Well, at least you changed your vocalization, so it's a little bit better. You know, you're in character.
That's how I cover all of my things. Let me tell you about these people of color for a second.
Oh, yes, you can find us online at friendsinyourears.com or where you get all of your podcasts, since obviously you're listening to this episode, so you found me somehow. You can also find us on Twitter at friendsinears. That's where you can submit your own questions that you would like my guest to answer. Just hashtag FIYE bonus. That's pronounced fire bonus. And who knows, it might get asked on the podcast. You can find Andrew at CFO Andrew, and Moises is at Moises CHIU. Again, links will be in the show notes. Thank you again so much for listening, and I hope you all have an amazing day.